God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 7th day of August, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Today's sermon is taught by Pastor John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Choose Integrity. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
We'd like to prepare our hearts just to receive the word. I hope you've come today to do just that. It is about him. It is about receiving the word of God. And it's not a social club. It's about worshiping Jesus Christ. And I think the sooner churches get back to that, so much better it will be that we realize what it's all about. And we're not here to entertain. We're not here to impress. We're here to worship God. And it's about him and it's about others. And then sure, we come to hear instruction. We come to hear the word of God. Because it is the truth that makes us free, without a doubt. But what a glorious day. I'm glad you took some time out of your day to come and thank the Lord and praise his name. So let's do that real quick. We'll have a special, then we'll get into our continued series of Choose What Is Better. I'm so glad God gives us what is better. Tells us what it is. Don't have to guess, hope. But so often, I just think we get so caught up with what the world has for us that is inferior to what God has. And we get deceived by that. And when God says, I have so much better for you. So we're going to look at that again today. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. Good to have good friends and guests with us here today. Lord, what a joyous day it is. Lord, what a joyous opportunity it is for us to open up your word, to hear some truth. Lord, to give to you in worship, to sing praises to your name in worship, to fellowship one with another today and tonight as well, Lord, in the fellowship afterwards. And Lord, just so many things that you provide. We thank you. We thank you for it. And now, Lord, we do ask that your Spirit be with us. Your Holy Spirit reside in this building. We desire it. We want it, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for it ahead of time. Lord, we don't want to meet just to meet. We want to meet with you. So, Lord, be with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power.
Beautiful song, amen. It is true. Well, I tell you what, God has seen fit to take away some of our singers. Of course, Jackie got married last night, and I guess I should put it on, huh? Sound man right about now should be jumping up and down. Is that better? Okay. God has seen fit to take away some of our singers. Of course, Jackie got married last night to Casey, and they're heading. Oh, I always get this wrong. O'Donnell? Am I saying it right? Or O'Donnell? I always want to say O'Dell for some reason. Texas, down by Lubbock. And, of course, she's got a beautiful voice, Casey, as well. Miss Sarah wickedly chose Owosso over other locations closer to here. And has moved. But in that, we could use singers. Here's always a problem with that. I think sometimes we compare ourselves with the wrong people. You know, like you compare with Brenda, Sarah, Jack, yeah, different people that can sing well. You know, and our guys, of course, Brother Patrick and their family, and think, well, I can't sing that well. Well, let me help you. Compare to the pastor. New choir membership. Can you sing better than the pastor? If it's yes, you're in. It's that simple, and you're in. But I would like to see Jose will be here in a couple weeks, and we're excited about that. And we're investing and bringing him in to invest in our music program. Music is to worship the Lord. It is part of the service that you get an opportunity to come and lift up your voice unto God. Not for others, not to impress other people, but to sing unto the Lord. And we believe that. We're trying to expand in that. That doesn't mean we're going to change our music standards. It means we're going to try to emphasize what is important about music and sing unto the Lord. So with that, one of the ways you can participate in the service is to get involved in singing. And now solos, duets, those are difficult. That's why if I ever sing again, I'm pretty sure it would be in a group. You said, why? They blend together and they blend you out. And choir, we have room for more. And church size, we could probably double our choir very easily. And so I want to challenge you. If you know just even a little bit that here in the next couple weeks, as Jose comes, choir is what, 4:45, is that right? Okay, so about 4:45 each Sunday night. And you begin coming, begin learning, growing, and be your service, your participation as you sing in the Lord and help others to worship the Lord as well. So keep that in mind, if you would, and let's kind of change that philosophy there just a little bit. Once again, we're not asking you to sing solos if you can't, duets, things like that. But together, corporately, you can sing. And some ensembles would be good. Getting some ensembles together, singing, 7, 8, 9 people together would be good stuff just to praise the Lord. So keep those things in mind, if you would. Excited about that and all that God is doing and going to do. We're in our What is Better series. And for a while now, I've been teaching a part one, part two. And let me tell you why. We'll be in Proverbs 19 if you want to turn there. But probably a year or so ago, God convicted me on... We live in such a information society, and there's so much taking place that we're inundated with new information literally every hour. I mean, it's just over and over and over. And what's developed from that is we brought several messages on it over the last couple of years, but there's kind of a philosophy that's developed even Christianity, to tell you the truth. And that is, we come in to hear a service, and we hear a Sunday morning service, and within an hour, we've kind of, it's clicked off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got other things going on, other information coming, and I understand that. So what happens, we're kind of used to coming in, we hear the sermon, we say, boy, that's good, we like it, our pastor's wonderful. You're supposed to be saying that, okay? But anyway, I really got something out of that. But then, like I said, we kind of click off. And then a whole nother message comes Sunday night, different topic, different direction. Wednesday, whole different direction. Sunday school, whole different direction. And I got to think about that and saying, we're trying to teach you four different spiritual truths a week. And I stopped and I said, you know, Lord, he just kind of started leading me in this direction. On Sundays, to just try to give you one consistent truth to hang on to and to work on all week long. And that way we know in our prayer time, in our study, I can kind of work on this topic and hopefully grow more than learning just kind of click on, click off, click on, click off. Yeah, I agree with that. But let's just be honest. It's hard to change four things in a week. I don't. Okay. So I'm thinking, wow, if I'm not going to change four things in a week, probably not going to ask the congregation to work on four different spiritual truths in a week. And I know some things don't demand change. Some is information, encouragement. We understand that. Part of our growth, reinforcing truths we already know. But some things do demand that we stop and we look, we evaluate, we do something about it. And so a lot of times Sunday morning, to tell you, we're just kind of breaking into it. It's more than an introduction, but it's an introduction with a little bit of the thought process, giving you what's taking place. And Sunday night, we go into a little bit more meat. So if you're just catching Sunday mornings, you're catching half the message. You know, Sunday night just kind of brings it all together is our goal. And so I want to challenge you in your consistency there that you get the whole truth of that truth we're trying to deal with that Sunday. If you're able to, God will bless you so much. He really will. Well, this one's Proverbs 19. Let's stand. We're going through a What is Better series all summer long. And amazed at how many verses in the Bible, Proverbs, we're getting ready to go into Ecclesiastes, say, basically this, better is kind of the phrase we're using, better is. As I began to look that up for some messages months ago, I was just shocked. You know, how many times God said, well, actually, this is better. This is what the world says. This is what the world thinks. But let me help you. This is a better way to go. Well, let me help you. God has a lot more authority to me than this world. His track record is way better than this world. And when you follow his truth, wow, it works. And let me help you. I'm not talking works sometimes, 100% of the time. That's a pretty good track record. That if you take God's word and you implement what it's saying, you don't have to go home and say, I wonder if I do this, if it'll work. Oh, no, it works. You know, you say, well, it doesn't work for me. There's only one reason for that. That's right. We're not doing it. It's that simple. Okay. Because God is never a liar. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Look at it. It says, better is the poor. Most of you are saying, that's me, preacher. Better is the poor. Well, good. This message is for you. That walketh in his integrity. Than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Lord, we come to you now as we open up your word, your truth. May it resonate through our hearts and our minds today. Allow us to receive it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Last year, I decided to surprise my wife. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. And I'm in the process of slowly trying to remodel our house. We bought it, and it was outdated, but we liked the size and the area. And, okay, we liked the price. It was good. And so we like it. We'll be there as long as the Lord lets us. We're very content people. But we thought, well, over time, we'll update it. So we put a floor in the kitchen when we first got it. And you know the routine. It just kind of takes a while. So after about 6 years being in there and our 25th anniversary coming up, rather than getting all the gifts, you know, that fade away, like jewelry, really, who wants jewelry? But anyways, rather than doing all that, I decided to remodel the front room and the rec room. So I needed the carpet, the paint. Let me rephrase that. The staff decided to remodel. Is that right? So they came in and painted, but I went down and bought some furniture. And so I did the furniture shopping, and I decided to get, you know, couches, recliners, kind of redo that, actually upgrade to some new stuff. And so did the price checking, did the research, finally settled. I went and bought the furniture, and as I was signing, writing the big check to pay for the furniture, all that kind of fun stuff, the sales lady said, now listen, what you need to do is to get this warranty program. And now I'm a 50-50 guy in warranty. I usually get a warranty if I'm, you know, a little nervous about the product, you know, to tell you the truth. But if not, I think it's a solid product. I'm buying it for the reputation. I'm like, I don't need the warranty. I'm just giving away money. But on this one, she said, listen, this covers anything. What caught us at a time in our life that was very important. My son had a dog, a shepherd by name. You knew her as Jasmine. The Moorheads know her very well right now. And this Jasmine dog, in her puppy stage, liked to chew. And one day, she was sitting by my wife's recliner, laying there, and just leaned over and said, I think I'll chew on something. And just began chewing. I don't know when we caught her, but all of a sudden we looked down and part of the chair's gone. So we took out the threads and sewed it up and had one of them hillbilly recliners. Chew marks on it. But it worked. So we were happy, you know. That's what we had. So we're fine. I had it for several years. One of the reasons I decided to remodel, you know. And so she got a little bit older, but I'm sitting there and the lady says it covers anything. And a light bulb went on because we still had the dog. And I said, well, would you cover, let's say, a dog chews a recliner chair? And she goes, oh, yeah. I mean, if the dog chews the cushion or the wood, any part, this warranty will cover it. She goes, it covers everything for 5 years. If you spill something, if you rip it, if you tear it, they'll replace it. I said, where do I sign? So I signed up for it. And it wasn't that bad. Covered every piece of furniture, low amount. I was ecstatic. Well, the day came. It was time to test the warranty. You say, but you don't have the dog. I know, but we babysat the Kelsey's dog. Hang on, Suggs, just hang on. That little stray dog came to the yard. They decided to be nice and keep it. Then they decided to go somewhere for 4 or 5 days. Said, hey, would you watch our dog? They didn't ask me. They asked the wife. And anyways, she said, yes. I come home one day. This strange little puppy is running all over the place. Which was fine. We grew to like the dog. Very friendly dog. It was good. But unbeknownst to us, she liked to dig on couches. And one day we look over there and we see. And I'm like, oh, I come flying up. By the time I got there, too late. She had found not one area, but two areas that she'd been practicing on. And I mean, it's almost shredded. And normally you'd get upset about that. But I said, not me. I have a warranty. And I smiled and said, honey, don't worry. We'll call the warranty place. And, you know, a week or two goes by. I finally remember. I call the warranty place. I said, yes, we bought furniture a couple years ago. Got this 5-year warranty. I got my papers there. I'm so ready to go. Called them up. The lady on the phone said, okay, what's the issue? I gave her the number of the couch and all that kind of fun stuff. I said, I need new covers for the couch because the dog chewed or scratched them up. She goes, oh, sorry, we don't cover any animal situations. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, wait a minute. When I bought no, ma'am, you don't understand. I remember this conversation very clearly. This sale, I could tell you what the sales lady looks like. I have her name right here. I gave her the story of dogs that we have that chew on furniture that are wicked animals. And then I need a warranty to cover this so I don't kill the dogs. This was so simple. I remember it. And she said verbatim, sir, it covers everything, including animals. And the lady on the other line said this. Well, sir, you should read your warranty. Okay. She goes, if you would read your warranty, you'd find out it says very clearly does not cover anything with pets. And I went, wow, well, I guess I didn't read it, ma'am. I just trusted the sales lady. She goes, your mistake. Click. That didn't settle well with me. I decided to write a letter, and which I don't often do, I'll be honest. But I decided to go ahead and write a letter, and so I quickly, on my laptop, began to type a letter, and I was kind. I told him, I said, I'd love to continue to give a good report about your company. I bought furniture here before. I like your company. However, it is going to be very difficult for me to do so, and I explained the warranty. I explained the phone call, explained I called a warranty lady. She answered and very abruptly informed me that I should read warranties better, and basically said, good luck, get lost. I mailed that in. Praise the Lord, they forwarded it to her. I love companies. About an hour later, I get a phone call. It's the lady from the warranty company. Same one. She goes, we got your email. Oh. Now, I was nice. Praise God for that. She goes, yeah, whenever they send something to the company, they send it directly to us. And I said, oh, hi, it's me again. Well, I was just kind of informing them. I'd like them to either refund me or da-da-da. She goes, no problem. We'll cover it. I said, what? She goes, yes, sir. I said, we appreciated the email. You were very kind in the email. My boss said, we're going to go ahead and cover it. We're going to take care of it. And she said, however, if any more dogs chew on any more of your furniture, please understand, we will not cover it. I said, thank you. I said, you mean you'll pay for it? We'll pay for it. Sure enough, a week later, it came in the mail. And it hit me right there. I said, you know what? For the first time in a long time, I realized something. A company was more concerned about their name than they were making a profit. And can I tell you, that was impressive to me. I returned another letter to them as soon as the product came in, thanking them for how quick it happened, them taking care of it, them paying for it, honoring their word, if you could say. And I even told them, I realized as a warranty company, the salesman probably overextended what they were supposed to say. I get that. I understand that. But the fact is they said it. And by you honoring it, I said, you have elevated. And I said, from this point on, I will speak good things about your company. And I will tell others about your company. And I said, I guarantee you, you have more sales because of paying for a couple covers that probably cost you $20 than had you not. You ever think about that? The importance of a name and how important it is? Folks, can I tell you when the Bible says it is better? Better it is for you to be poor and walk in integrity. Can I tell you what that means? It's better to be poor and a man or woman of character than to be rich and not have it. You know what we need back in America today, back in the church? Character. Character. That's that word integrity. Character is missing in our society today. And I understand that from out there, but I don't understand it in the house of God. This morning, we need to get back to character. Better is the poor, the Bible says, that walketh in integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I want to give you several thoughts this morning before we get into the message tonight, a little more meat of it. But first of all, number one, I want you to understand this. I read this statement and it just kind of struck me. Integrity with any external disadvantages. So integrity with any type of external disadvantage. Well, what's that, preacher? Your health, mental ability or inability, your financial situation, whatever it may be. In other words, integrity, character, with any external disadvantage is better than corruption with all possible worldly profit. What's that saying, preacher? It's better to be dirt poor, have health problems, and have a good name, good character, than it is to be filthy rich and not have character. The fact of the matter is we need to understand something. Society is messing us up. See, we live in a world that says this. For some reason, we think if somebody's rich and successful, they know it all. I'm serious. You say, why do you say that? I'm amazed at how many people quote movie stars, athletes, and we set them up as somebody important because they can hit a baseball. They can catch a football. They can hit a golf ball, whatever it might be. They can ride in a car. And all of a sudden, we're taking family advice from them. We're taking financial advice from them. We're taking all this information from them as though they've got something to offer because they have a skill. No. You may be good at something physically or financially, but that doesn't mean you have great character. The fact of the matter is, we shouldn't be so caught up in the success of this world and attribute to them as advisors for you and I. Our advice should come from one main source. Thus saith the word of God. It matters not how rich someone is, how poor someone is. Let's just be honest. Don't we often, don't answer, but let's just be honest. Somebody drives up a nice car, nice clothes. It's funny the reaction. We probably ought to run a test. But I bet if we'd run a test, we'd come up with this conclusion. You and I respond better to somebody who looks nice, seems to have some means. We give them immediate respect, immediate attention. But if someone drives up in a beaten down vehicle, pair of jeans, hole in their shirt, suddenly our thought is, oh, they must be asking for benevolence. They need help. Oh, our thought isn't, I wonder what they have to offer. Our thought isn't, I wonder if they got some wisdom. No. The wise guy, the guy's that rich. Well, after all, I mean, to get to that place, he's got to know a lot. He's got to be a very important person. Really? Not in America. Many people make it rich in America just because we live in the richest nation on the face of the earth. But it's strange. In my lifetime, I've noticed the association of character with success. Now, let me tell you. Years ago,
you could probably say that. No, I'll be honest with you. You start going back 100 years or so, and you see people that were successful, they were successful because of character. But today, it's not always that way. Today, you can't associate those two things. No, you really can't. I've seen many successful people today for a time being who did not have proper character. And the Bible's saying, are you ready? It is better for you to be poor. It is better for you to be disadvantaged in that fashion and to be poor than to be a man or woman without character. Would to God, the house of God, would understand this, that my God who supplies all my needs will take care of me. But my job is to make sure I walk in godly character. Let me ask today, do you walk in godly character? No matter what your external disadvantages that you think it might be, do you? You ought to. Let me give you this thought. Number two, inferior are the ones without character, not the ones without money. Poverty of pocket is better than poverty of soul. Boy, how true that is. I'd rather be a poor man, basically what the Bible's saying. It's better to be a poor man and a man of character than it is to be a rich man with no character at all. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22? Proverbs chapter 22. There's a thought I want to give you today and tonight as well on this line of character that I think we need to get back to. It used to be a given in our society. America, honestly, I believe was founded on biblical principles. I firmly believe that. I don't believe that everybody was a Christian, that everybody necessarily had a strong faith in God. But I do believe that they used the Bible, they used biblical principles to mold our nation. No debate about that. So because of that, even lost people taught their kids character growing up. Are you aware of that? I mean, it was a given. I remember even our home in the time that I grew up, which wasn't that long ago. In our home, Dad was lost, and yet he taught us character. I mean, it was part of our growing up. I wasn't allowed to cuss as a lost kid. Are you aware of that? Yeah, 30 years ago, as a lost kid. Longer than that, actually. Let's go back a little more. 40 years ago. We need to stop right now. I'm having a moment. Okay, 40 years ago, you know, as a kid, seriously, 35, 40, at your 5, 10 years old, and Mom and Dad had standards, biblical standards in our home. We had to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Yeah, not just in the home, but to other people. Matter of fact, I would get a whooping. You say, what's that? We'll talk about that later. Some of you are just too young to understand what that is. But anyways, I would get some type of punishment on my backside, the lower part, if I didn't say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And we weren't saved believers. We couldn't cuss, couldn't smoke or drink. Of course, I was 11. But anyways, I'm sorry, there was all these things. Oh, lying? You never lied to Mom and Dad. Oh, now we did, but you never got caught. You said, why? If you ever told a lie, the rule was double the punishment. You remember this one? If you get in trouble at school, what happens when you get home? Yeah, the worst thing that would ever happen to me is a school teacher calling my mom or dad. They would not have gotten this. Well, my son's perfect. How dare you call my home? How dare you thank my son? Oh, no, no, no. Mom and dad would go, yep, he is rotten. What do you do? Yeah, okay, no problem whatsoever. We'll take care of it. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I didn't talk him out of it. You just said, where's the eulogy? Because it's over. That's how we grew up. And folks, that's just 35, 40 years ago. I mean, that was a given. Hey, that doesn't happen today. We have school teachers in our building. They will attest. Oh, no. Can I tell you the number one problem with schools today? Parents. It's not kids. It's parents. We have good teachers in our school system. And they would do a great job if parents would just get lost. Something's wrong with our society today. I mean, when you're talking 40 years ago, parents are backing up the teacher. But now it's like, oh, they're being treated wrong. No, 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 no. We have a lack of integrity or character taking place in our society. Oh, they're doing studies on cheating and stealing. And it's overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming how many people said, if I wouldn't get caught, I'd steal, I'd cheat, I'd lie. You know, the only thing that stops me is if I get caught. And most of the time, that doesn't even stop me. I mean, it's rampant. I mean, you can pick up any stat you want. Get on the internet, you can just find it. I mean, it's discouraging to read. It's very discouraging. Lying, stealing. I'm amazed today. Shoplifting and stealing that takes place in our stores blows my mind. I mean, it is so rampant now, they just charge higher prices to the rest of us. I'm like, convict them. The court costs and all this. I'm like, convict them. It's just part of our society. It's not a part I want to accept. It's not a part I want to accept. You know what's sad, though? When you live in something long enough and you're around it long enough, you begin to accept it. And I'm afraid the house of God, the church, is beginning to accept that a lack of character is okay. And I'm here to tell you, when you read this book, you will find over and over and over this word integrity and the importance of having integrity, which we call character, and the necessity of it in our homes today and in our churches today. I'm telling you, Central Baptist Church should have a name, and that name is this. That's a place of character. How do you know? Well, look at Proverbs 22, verse 1. The Bible says very clearly, a good name is rather to be chosen, look at this, than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Oh, but preacher, I would love to be rich. I tell you what, who wouldn't? Can I tell you, there's no honor in being poor. Let me just clarify real quick. The Bible isn't saying, if you're poor, you're a good man. No, you could be poor because you're flat lazy. Never compare. So we do the opposite. We compare poverty with humility and godliness. Not necessarily. And we compare riches with character and knowledge. No, no, no. Both are wrong. See, the Bible isn't saying just be poor and deal with it. No. It's using a comparison to say this. If you have to choose, if there's no other choice, you don't have the means to make yourself better. God hasn't blessed you in that means. Then guess what? Accept your lot, but have a good name. Would to God that Christian people had a good name. I'll be honest with you. When you go to work, you ought to have the best name at work. I am totally convinced that the character of the average believer should be this way. That, and I'm serious. That your boss, your employer should hate to lose you. Hate to lose you. You are so honest. You are so trustworthy. If there's ever an accusation, they'd laugh. They say, no way. They defend you. They go to bat for you. Why? Because you are that full of character. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches. I'm always amazed at people who steal and how much they steal. You know, the fact that they'll steal $100, $200, $20, $30. They'll lose a $40,000 a year job for $50. Blows my mind, the stupidity of that. Blows my mind. I can't comprehend it. Why? Because character is missing. But God says a good name. A good name. Now this morning, I want to challenge you. Do you have a good name? We need it. Listen to this quote from the pulpit commentary. But when it is justly earned, the good name is the sacrament of a good character, and therefore an outward and visible sign of what is most excellent. For it is better to be good than to own riches. Our name lasts longer than our wealth. Let me give you some. I wrote down just a couple here. Let me help you. Let's do name association. Are you ready? We just want to see your responses, these individuals. Pete Rose. Baseball, yeah. Good player. Whenever you think of Pete Rose, what do you think of now? Last I remember, he gambled and isn't going in the Hall of Fame. And this Stellar, probably the best catcher ever, is now known for basically gambling and what we call a lack of character or integrity. Roger Clemens. Yeah, if you follow baseball at all, one of the best ever. But now he's going before Congress? He may end up in jail? For what? Lying. Oh, here's one. Some Madoff guy? Y'all ever heard of him? Yeah, if you invested, you did. Oh, this one. Tiger Woods. Look at the moans now. Wow. Oh, here's another one. O.J. Simpson. I used to hear that name and think of football. I don't think that anymore. Yeah, let me help you. One of the best running backs ever. But for this generation, you have no earthly idea what he ever did on the playing field. You know why? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To this day, if we did a quick poll, most of you would have the same philosophy. He killed his wife. You know, I can't believe you said that. That's what you're thinking. But he wasn't convicted. Not in court. Oh, here's another one. This will help you. Casey Anthony. You're all happy about her, aren't you? Oh, yes. Really, how many people are going to name their daughters Casey this next year? I mean, seriously. It's like naming your son Judas. Hey, think about that. Who names their kid Judas? How many of you know someone named Judas? No, seriously. I'm just curious. Anybody know a son or daughter? I'm sorry. named, it don't happen. Why? What are you, brain dead? You go back in the Bible. How many daughters come out and go, let's name her Jezebel? You don't do that. If you know the book, you don't do that. Sarah's pretty good, Rachel, but you don't. Why? Well, what's the big deal? It's just a name. It has an association with that name. That name carries some weight with it. On the flip side, some people, especially in different cultures, name their kid Jesus. Well, that's a lot to live up to. Usually when I hear that, I go, really? Now, that's a good name, but I'm like, can you reach that level? I'm not against it. I'm just saying that's just the way it is. You think that way and go, wow, names have associations. There's Barry Bonds. There's remember Nabal in the Bible? We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Filthy rich. You know what the title was given to him? Basically, in our words, he was a mean man. Nabal, a mean man is how we would say it. Why? Because that was his reputation. That was his character. You don't think names matter? Can I help you? Your name matters. Do you not understand? People come to Central Baptist Church or don't because of our name. One of the things we work hard on here at Central Baptist Church is this. I want this name to have a good name in our community. That's exactly right. It's that important to us. Do you understand? As a church, we go overboard to protect this name. We have paid extra for things that we really didn't have to or didn't owe just to keep a good name. That's right. If there's been conflicts about some service that we hired and it wasn't done right, and we sit down as a leadership team and we realize that really, we probably shouldn't pay it. We probably don't owe it. And all of a sudden the pastor says, we're going to do it. And the men I know sometimes go, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'd rather have a good name. And it cost us just a little bit for a good name than have a bad name. That's exactly right. We'll do whatever we can. If we hear there's a conflict, we will go overboard to try to make, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the other party doesn't want to make things right. We will go overboard to make it right with them. There are certain families, I've been to their house so many times, and not on good terms, over and over, ask them to come back, ask them to get right. Why? We want to do everything we can to them. We want to at least make sure we're doing our part. Why would you do that? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But let me ask you, when your name is spoken in the community, what do people think? Think about that for a minute. How would you like to have a pastor that whenever you said John Waterloo, they went... Maybe they do that. I don't know. Some of you are going, well, actually, yeah. Now, seriously. I said Mark Byard. I mean, that name was had a reputation that wasn't real good. Well, the Bible says a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. Should not those who name the name of Christ have a good name? And is it not true that from our little study this morning, that your name is associated with your character? Let me help you. It is. Your name is chosen by your character. I'll never forget the illustration. I've used it a couple times over the years, but I like it. Two guys got caught in a small village stealing sheep. And the village people came together, and they didn't really have a judicial system to say so. So the elders met, and they discussed what to do. The conclusion was that they weren't going to put them to death. They had stolen, it was wrong, they didn't want to go to that extreme, but they wanted to set an example and help them to stop this activity. So what they did is they got together and they decided that they would literally burn. They would mark them for life. And they took two letters, S and T, and they burned it into their foreheads. So that every time someone saw them, they'd realize these are sheep thieves. That's what they are. They're a sheep thief. And so here it went. They literally held them down, and instead of putting them in jail or killing them, they burned it. One man couldn't take it. The disgrace was so great, he moved. The other man said, I've lived here all my life. I will change my reputation. And for the next several years, and actually not several, but multiple years, year after year after year, he totally changed. Rather than stealing, he became a great help to the society. He began giving instead of taking, getting involved. Years went by. Don't remember how many, but it was a lot. A lot of years, maybe a couple decades went by. The community began to grow. Things began to happen. But permanently imprinted right here was ST. One day as a new family moved into town, they had seen it. You know how awkward it is. You don't go up to someone if Kyle has ST and go, hey, why you got that? But they saw it, and they saw the man, and boy, got to know him. He was a great guy, but still just a little embarrassed to ask. So one day, this new gentleman was in the store, and the guy with ST came in, purchased something left, and finally couldn't take it anymore. He was so curious. He asked the store owner. He said, have you been here a while? He said, yeah, I've been here for a long time. He goes, that guy that just came in, you know him? Yeah, man. Called him by name. He said, man, just a great guy, wonderful guy, just really gets involved in the community. And man, just wonderful neighbor. I'm just curious. He's got this ST imprinted on his forehead. You know what that means? He said, oh, man, yeah, that happened a long time ago. Oh, gosh. I'll just be honest with you. My best recollection is that ST stands for saint. What are you saying, preacher? You can change your reputation. You can change your reputation. Let's just be honest. Some of you don't have a good reputation right now. Some of you don't have a good name. You've done things. You've lied. You've stolen. You've cheated. You lost your job for inappropriate reasons. You've disgraced your family, your marriage. You've not done right. You've dishonored your God. Well, you can run and you can hide, or you can say, it's time to change. And I've always said, you start where you're at. And this I know. You can decide to just live for yourself and get as much money as you can and soak it all in. Or you can decide to do something different and change your life and develop character, godly character. And by doing so, you'll gain a good name. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll be way worth more than any money you'll ever get. Let's just be honest. Money comes and money goes. A name lasts forever. Forever. I mentioned just a few people. By the way, most of them are rich. Most of the ones I mentioned, including Nabal, rich. But not one of you would take their name. And not one of you would change places with them today. You know why? It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. So what do we learn from this, preacher? We learn what the Bible says. Better is a good name. Better it is to be poor with integrity. It's better to have a good name, folks. And the way you get a good name is real simple. Live a life of character. Can I challenge you this morning before we get into some specifics tonight? Can we pursue a good name? And if you don't have it today, don't give up. Just decide today it changes. And it won't take a week or month. It'll probably take years. But I'll tell you one thing. If you really give your life to Jesus Christ and begin living by character, whatever you've done bad in the past can be overcome. And you won't be a sheep thief. You can become a saint. Yeah, with the grace of God. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we just look at the beginning of the message, Lord, the importance of integrity. So much can be said about integrity. There are so many character traits in the word of God and as believers that we can and need to pursue. But Lord, in this culture, character is something not talked about a lot. It is excluded in many segments of our culture. But the one place, Lord, it should be found consistently, Lord, and in great abundance is in the house of God. We should be people that people can trust. We should be people with a good name. We pay our bills. We honor our commitments. We correct our wrongs. When we lie, Lord, well, Lord, we don't lie. But if we do, we correct it and we make it right. Lord, help us to do so. Lord, help us to be recommitted to a life of integrity. To develop a good name for your cause, for our family's sake. There is something that needs to come today, Lord, and start anew. Once again, pursuing character traits in their life. Others that need to come today, Lord, and just say, Lord, I've been doing that and I want to keep doing it. Lord, by your grace, I want to keep a good name for you. Lord, help us to be men and women of good character, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord spoken to you, page 534. Cleanse me. You sing with us or you come and pray. I tell you, it's time for the house of God to once again be committed to character, godly character in our life. It starts on our knees before Almighty God, saying, Lord, help me to either continue or help me to gain once again that good name. As we sing, page 534, sing out. Cleanse me.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.